Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Hey, Sex with Simmery folks. You need to get real excited because August 20th through 24th, Philly Podcast Festival is back. This is the second time. Last year was amazing. Thank you to everybody who came out. And there are a ton of locally grown podcasts talking about all sorts of different topics. And you can come hang out at Tattooed Moms, which is on South Street in Philadelphia. Watch a live show. It's going to be amazing. A lot of people have giveaways. It'll be just awesome. So there's going to be cool shows there, including Sex with Timmery. We're going to talk about some sex, I imagine. There's also going to be like Unspoiled, Story Shuffle, Action Phase, Talking Nerdy, The Pincushion, Going to Hell, Stark Raven Mad, a bunch of other shows. There's so many. If you want the full lineup, if you want the schedule, you want more information, you go to phillypodfest.com and you're going to find out all sorts of stuff there. So get excited and we look forward to hanging out with you.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery. And I just recently presented at a DIY Skillshare in West Philly. It was this brilliant idea of bringing together a bunch of people from the community who have a specific area of knowledge or experience and sharing it with other people. So it was very low cost, sliding scale, and it went on for 3 days in West Philly at the Rotunda and a number of other locations, and included like a punk rock concert, just, you know, generally cool. There was everything from basic plumbing to sewing, making your own bath scrubs. There was stuff on anarcho-punk politics, the Israeli-Palestinian situation, like a variety of things, like stuff that were either how-to or about, etc. And I was asked to speak on sex-positive feminism. So I did, and it was cool, and I'm really grateful to the people who had me and to the people who came and were, like, a phenomenally attentive audience and very friendly and fun. But I just thought it would be fun to talk to you about it as well, since I put together this really cool PowerPoint, and I can't show you the pictures. But I'm gonna tell you about it anyway. So you get to go to this conference for free via the powers of the internet. So welcome to Sex Positive Feminism by Dr. Timmery.
So sex positive feminism. Let's start by defining our terms. What are we even discussing? So at this point, if you were in the presentation, you would get to see a picture of an adorable black cat with a marshmallow on its nose. And it has the caption, "I don't need feminism because there is a marshmallow on my nose." And it's really cute. And you can Google image search it. Anyway, this is one of the confused cats against feminism that has been sweeping the nation. That is a satire of the Tumblr meme also of women who don't need feminism, which generally is women describing the ways in which they don't understand feminism or have had it explained to them incorrectly or heard some sort of straw man argument against feminism that is a misrepresentation of what it stands for. So it's a really big problem that people ascribe like a great deal of different things to feminism that aren't actually part of it. Some of that is the doing of people who self-identify as feminists, who put a lot of other stuff onto it, or use their righteous feminist ire in a way to combat people on a personal level, which is a thing that they are personally doing. It is not the nature of feminism. Feminism is not like a religion or a political party that has a central leadership system. So there's not like a party line, and there's not like a specific place we can go and be like, this is what we're saying and everything else is blasphemy. It doesn't work like that. It's more like academia, in that we're all reading and writing each other's stuff, and we're having commentary on, you know, the various arguments that people are making and providing evidence. And it's an ongoing conversation that hopefully is getting closer and closer to the truth, and we're all getting more enlightened and educated as a result of it. However, there are people that come into academia, people who come into feminism, and they have their own agendas, and or they might not be super good at the science or the thinking, and so they say stuff that's messed up, and we have to be like, no, go back, try again. And
what happens is that if somebody has an agenda against feminism, they will pick out that person and say that they are representative of feminism when they are in fact representative of themselves. Because again, we don't have a power structure. There's not like a pope of feminism. And so the things that people say represent their own selves. Feminism is simply the idea that your gender shouldn't determine your opportunities. It's this radical notion that people are equal regardless of their gender. So whether you believe in a gender binary or not, you can be a feminist. Whether you identify as a woman or anywhere on a feminine spectrum or not, you can be a feminist. Regardless, it literally is nothing other than belief in equality, regardless of sex or gender. In my speech, I also talked a little bit about what's the difference between feminism and radical feminism. And I have a lot of conversations with people where I'm just trying to catch them up to speed on what feminism is, because their only experiences with radical feminism, or again, they pick some random person that they believe is representative of all of it, or they think that all feminists need to spend all of their time distancing themselves from radical feminists, when in reality, feminists can spend their time doing whatever the fuck they want because they're just people. And radical feminism, though, specifically, has nothing to do with hating trans people. It has nothing to do with hating men or anything like that. Radical feminism is just simply the notion that because of the way that power is structured, we cannot have equality as long as the existing institutions stay in place. So it's an advocacy to demolish the hegemonic power structures as they exist, because they are the reason for oppression, and that until we change this overall system and overhaul it completely, we cannot move forward. So that's how I'm going to operationalize the definition of radical feminism. It's not misandry. It's not anything to do with body hair. It's simply about larger systems of oppression. What do I say about sex positivism? This is simply the idea that all consensual sexual activity is inherently healthy and good. So the baseline is consent. That is the basis of whether or not sexual activity is ethical, whether or not it is good. So as opposed to a culture that focuses on, let's say, purity or having sex in a very specific context, and that's the only way in which it's valuable, sex positivism says that like pleasure in and of itself is valuable. That you don't have to have a reason or a specific type of relationship with someone in order to have a positive sexual experience with them. It doesn't have to be in the context of marriage or a relationship or even liking each other. Simply that all parties involved have consented to it. Pleasure is inherently a reasonable and perfectly valid reason. And there's not moral distinctions between different types of sex and sex positivism. Instead, it's just personal preferences. So as long as everybody's on board with what's happening in an enthusiastically consensual way, it's all good. Whether it involves staying in one position the whole time or 17 of them, no matter what you're wearing, how many people are involved. That's just a matter of personal preference. And this is, of course, fundamentally tied into the idea that sexual freedom is a right and that you control your body and everything that happens to it. And when I say that sexual freedom is a fundamental right, that's one of the many reasons that sex positivism can collaborate with a lot of other liberation movements. The really obvious allies would be like LGBT people, other sexual minorities, and sexual minorities can include a lot of people. That can be BDSM, that can be asexuals, that can be anybody whose sexuality isn't depicted in the mainstream. So sex positivism is a really natural collusion with those folks. But there's a lot of other allies that we can align ourselves with. I mean, it doesn't make as much sense to be, you know, friends with like libertarianism, but ultimately if we agree that our bodies are our own and we should be independent and personally responsible and that the government shouldn't be able to tell us what to do with our personal lives, I mean, there's a natural ally, even if we don't agree on everything. It, of course, makes sense to be friends with anti-censorship folks and body positivity movement, both in terms of like the fat acceptance movement and certainly folks that are doing advocacy work around disability and sexuality. Body positivity is really everybody. So it's not even specifically marginalized bodies, but just bodies that don't get as much attention. And of course, social constructivists, anybody who has belief that our experience is not simply defined by our biology, but that our meaning and our experience of the world is constructed based on where we grow up and what messaging we get. So anybody that has that sort of outlook, we can naturally be friends. Sex-positive feminism basically is just saying that sexual freedom is intrinsic to women's freedom, and that the way in which people are held down, specifically women, is partly through sex negativism, through shaming of certain bodies, through shaming of behaviors, through the idea that what you do with your body makes you a bad or worse person, and therefore you shouldn't do things. One thing I just want to point out is that if somebody can tell you what to do with your body, your own body, especially alone, like what you do just with yourself and what feelings you have and the ways in which you touch yourself, if somebody can tell you what to do with that, there is literally nothing they can't control. That person can tell you anything and they can make you do anything. So this is part of overthrowing larger systems of oppression, the hierarchy, the idea of, you know, patriarchy and white supremacy and all the different ways in which some folks are held above others.
So you're like, great, sex positive feminism. What would that even look like? In practicality, it means that enthusiastic consent is our baseline. We're not talking yes means yes, no means no. Those are things also. But enthusiastic consent is not that somebody just agreed to do something, but they actively want to. There's a difference, and especially if somebody has power over another person, then there's a lot of different ways that that can manifest. And that doesn't simply mean physical force. It doesn't necessarily mean authority. But there are a lot of ways that we can coerce and manipulate people. And what we're looking for is genuine, enthusiastic consent. People are in the same position of power. People have the freedom to say no, and they're actively seeking to engage in behavior. And we're looking at sex that is going to be pleasure-focused as opposed to goal-oriented. So we want it to be a process. We want it to be an improvised experience between people rather than something where we set out with a trajectory in mind and a number of steps that we're going to hit and a target that we're aiming for, and we'll know that we did it right or not, whether or not we did it. So instead of thinking that, you know, I need to come and I need to come at this time, and so do you, and you also need to come around that same time, and these are the things that need to lead to that, rather we're focusing on pleasure, giving and receiving. And sex-positive feminism is, of course, going to explode gender and sexual orientation dichotomies. So there's not simply, like, two sexes. I mean, there's the biological side and there's the gender side, and that there, it's not that simple. That there are a diversity of bodies that express themselves in different ways, that genitals look different on different people, and that we have different senses of identity about who we are in terms of gender, and it's not just black or white. And it's the same thing with sexual orientation. It's not just gay and straight. It's a whole litany of options, and you don't have to fall into a specific box. You like what you like, and that's cool. You can come up with your own label if you want to. If one of the existing labels works for you, great, but it doesn't have to. We're also, of course, going to be emphasizing comprehensive, empirically valid sex ed. So we're going to base the education kids get on real science. We're going to base it on biology as we understand it, based on modern science. And we're going to give prevention messages based on what we know actually works to measurable health outcomes. So if what we want to do is prevent unintended pregnancies, if what we want to do is prevent STI transmission, let's give the education that will do that. Nothing else. No mumbo jumbo, no voodoo, just literally what's going to work for them. And we're going to have conversations about biology that are technically accurate and that use the correct words. There's literally no reason that parts of the body are acceptable to name and other parts are not okay to say out loud. It's completely ludicrous. Sex-positive feminism is also going to be about legalizing, decriminalizing sex work, making sure that it is not a dangerous thing for someone to engage in. Because again,
We don't make moral distinctions between different types of sex. We make the distinction that some people have personal preferences, but we do understand, looking at the system as it exists, why sex work is lucrative for some folks and not for others, and to at least give them the option to engage in that economic activity if that is their volition. And we're going to enable anybody who is working in any job to do so in the safest way possible, where they are able to advocate for their own rights. So that works the same whether you're a waitress or you are a sex worker, that you are safe going to work and that you have freedom within that occupation. We're also going to be looking at diversity of representations. So we want to make sure that the people and the lives that we see in media reflect who actually exists in the world, because the vast majority of the world is not actually straight white men, even if they are the majority of protagonists. And we want to see a diversity of bodies, a diversity of abilities, a diversity of gender and sexual orientations. The baseline here is, of course, universal respect that all people are equally valuable and equally good. And we are also going to be advocating for easy access to quality health services. So that means birth control is considered a perfectly valid medical thing, and that you should be able to get that easily. And your insurance certainly would not differentiate it from other medications and prescriptions and place it at a lower value. You're going to eradicate stigma, shame, and judgment, and you're going to have as much hot fucking as you and your partners want. So that's sex-positive feminism. What's the rest of the world look like? Well, you have a pretty good idea of that. So for this, I had a slide that was a screenshot from Mean Girls, and it's the PE coach doing sex ed where he says, don't have sex because you will get pregnant and die. And then he hands out condoms because that's real. It's pretty representative of how it actually goes down. And there's a lot of messages that we get that are really bad, including the idea that bodies are flawed, sex is shameful, that we should be embarrassed about basic biological stuff, and that only certain bodies are okay and valuable and worthy of being attractive. The same thing about sex, that only certain sexual acts are valuable or good, or there are very specific instances in which they're acceptable, and that there's an appropriate amount of sex. And that's a window that goes up and down. So, of course, we do a lot of slut shaming about, oh, that's too many sexual partners, or you want sex too much, or sex addiction, porn addiction. But also putting a narrowing on the scope by saying that you have to have a certain amount, otherwise you're bad too. Because levels of desire are as varied as anything can be, and some folks don't have any sexual desire, don't have any sexual attraction to other people, and that's okay too. What do you care? So we're fine with that also. And the rest of the world, of course, only says certain bodies can be sexual or can be attractive, and that the ways in which they manifest this are based on gender as well, that men and women have very specific ways in which they should behave, or they're naturally inclined to behave, and that if there is a